Welcome in, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on? It's late night with Locked On as we are coming to you right after the Eagles and Jets Week 4 preseason finale. The Eagles take it. Gino Camilleri joins me over Skype today. We are not in studio together, but nonetheless still talking birds after, again, the Eagles get a 10-9 victory. Another weird baseball-type, hockey-type score, Gino, in the NFL preseason for the Eagles, but they get a win nonetheless, and there are some things to get into, so we'll get into that coming up on the show. Carson Wentz looked really good once again in his warm-ups before the game against the Jets, and Bud Light hinting at a statue that's being built for the Eagles in front of Lincoln Financial Field that will be revealed on game day next week. So we'll speculate into that as well, what that could be. But Gino, first, just coming into the show, thank God the preseason is over, right? I think that's the biggest takeaway from this game, is that I'm just so glad we don't have to see the Eagles wearing all white in the preseason anymore. Preseason's fun. The first game, right, you know, the first kickoff, you're like, we got football back, and then after a couple weeks, it's, all right, let's get over this. Let's get on to the regular season. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, let's hope we take this momentum into week one, you know. Got that last game four preseason victory.
I know everyone, all the overreactors who love the win losses in the preseason. So you got your win. You can relax now. The Eagles get it 10-9 off a late touchdown by Matt Jones, a touchdown reception just reached to the pylon at the very last second. The Eagles take the 1-point lead, and then Steven Means, Mr. Consistent, Gino, ends the game with a game-sealing sack. It was his third of the game, and I think it really secures one of two things. Either he's making this roster, or he is getting traded to a team that's going to play him.
I think you could probably get around a fifth or sixth round pick at this point for him. I mean, every preseason he's putting up good tape, and if the Eagles weren't so loaded at that position, I think he would be on the field and making a consistent contribution, because that guy's motor is just unbelievable.
And he's just a technician.
You have to feel good for him, too.
He just gets to the quarterback every play, and it's against the run, too.
Yeah, you have to feel good for him as well. I mean, you can tell how much his teammates love him. Every time he gets a sack, he's over there. He ripped his helmet off as soon as he ended the game, went up to all the defensive ends, was hooking arms with him. I think you have to keep a guy like that on the team at this point, really. I mean, why not?
Like, I'm with you there. I actually...
Say if Barnett goes down, I wouldn't mind seeing Steven Means get some reps at that position.
I was going to ask you, because you just said they could maybe get a fifth or sixth round pick for him. Honestly, with the age concerns of Michael Bennett's 34, Chris Long and Michael Bennett, I think they're the same age, if not Chris Long's 33. He's not younger than 33. So you have those two are older players that could be more susceptible to injuries. You have Brandon Graham coming off an injury as well. He's 30 years old. Derek Barnett's really your only young pass rusher outside of... I don't know what they're going to do with Josh Sweat. I still think Sweat's going to make the roster. But because you're not getting him to the practice squad. Maybe you put him on the Phantom IR, but I think Sweat over time maybe could have a role in this defense even this year, but not if Steven Means has anything to say about it. This guy consistently gets to the quarterback, and it hasn't just been this year. It was last year as well, and it's really been since he joined the Philadelphia Eagles. Lane Johnson even credited Steven Means, saying a couple weeks ago that he hates going up against him in practice because he's got to work so hard every single day. But Johnson even gave Means credit for why Johnson's been, you know, he's become one of the best tackles in football. So he's not only helping himself, but he's a leader in the locker room, and he's pushing guys like Lane Johnson to the point where Lane Johnson's a top tackle in the NFL, and he gives a lot of the credit to Means. That's a guy I don't want to lose on this team. If, like you said, if, God forbid, Derek Barnett went down or one of the older defensive ends, Steven Means is the guy I trust more than Sweat right now, and I think if Means was playing in this defense with all the talent around him, I think he could get to the quarterback. He's someone that could get a one-on-one matchup, and he's a person I trust that if the first move doesn't work, he is smart enough to know he's got a wide variety of moves and experience on getting to the quarterback. His hand placement is great. His footwork, he has explosiveness and strength. He is an incredible, fifth or sixth defensive end to have on this roster. I don't want to lose him. I would rather keep him than get a sixth or seventh round draft pick.
It definitely helps when he's going up against Lane Johnson and Jason Peters in practice, that you're going to have to adjust to be better every day to get past those guys, really, because you can see even elite defensive ends can't get past them. And for Lane to say that, I think, is a really big testament to how far Steven Means has come in these past couple years. And I can say at this point that I am more confident in him as a situational pass rusher than I am Josh Sweat at this point.
I agree.
I was rewatching that Cleveland game, and Sweat seemed to have trouble getting off a block on a tight end, which was kind of disappointing. I had more high hopes for him this training camp and preseason than he really put on tape. So, I mean, I would love to see Means dress for an actual meaningful game and not just a Week 17 or a Week 4 preseason game, you know. But I liked what I saw. I'm glad he got that last sack. If it happens to be his last play as an Eagle ever, well-deserved. And hopefully, if he does move on, he goes to a place where he can get on the field and contribute.
Right. For his own sake, I hope he can get to a place where he can play. But from an Eagles perspective, that's not a player I want to lose. And he is a guy that if players went down, he's going to play over Josh Sweat. You're 100% right. I've been watching his tape over the past couple of weeks throughout the preseason, and there's times where he'll bull rush a guy and get to the running back and make a big play. I think there was the one really nice stop against Cleveland, and you're like, wow, that dude comes in like a rocket. The size, he looks like Jadeveon Clowney out there flying around. But like you said, there's even times where he's up on a tight end one-on-one. If he doesn't get around them with his legs and his explosion, sometimes it just seems like he gets caught just staring at the quarterback, he's just pushing up, leaning up against the offensive lineman. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like he has any second, third move to get to the quarterback. His power moves didn't seem like they were working. I don't know, his hand placement just seemed really sloppy this summer. I was very disappointed with the tape that I watched so far in Sweat, and I'm going to go back and look through it more throughout the year, but he's a player that even if he makes a roster is probably not going to dress for the majority of the season. I don't want to lose a player like that. I'm not going to try to stash him on the practice squad or consider cutting him because of just the raw talent. But Steven Means is a player right now I would much rather have as that fifth defensive end that could have a role in this defense if only one injury happens. Because say hypothetically Chris Long went down, you have Jim Schwartz loves to rotate four defensive ends. Michael Bennett's a guy that's going to play defensive tackle a lot as well. So really, Steven Means could, for the most part, in games, be your fourth defensive end option in a rotation. And I want that on my team right now, especially with how the Eagles like to use their defensive ends. He's a player that definitely would have a role with the Eagles' defense. And again, three sacks against the Jets today. When you're going up against guys like Lane Johnson, the reserve tackles for the New York Jets in the fourth quarter of the Week 4 preseason game probably don't seem like much. So Steven Means, a big winner today. And Gino, on the offensive side of the ball, another big winner was Jordan Mailata. This guy just, week after week, the hype builds and builds and builds.
Gets better and better.
It does. Are the Eagles going to suddenly go from having a Hall of Fame left tackle who came into the league as an undrafted free agent tight end out of Arkansas? Are they going to go from that to having another future star? I mean, I know it's an overreaction, but Ross Tucker, Mike Mayock, Trey Thomas, Baldinger, all these former offensive linemen and former, you know, Mike Mayock was a former player, and obviously I trust his football opinion with his knowledge of the draft and of the NFL. They're all giving this guy huge praise. Ross Tucker said today not only does he think he's a future starter, but Jordan Mailata could be a future All-Pro and called him Jason Peters Jr. Are the Eagles just going to pull out another franchise tackle out of their, you know, just out of thin air, it seems like? Because he was a seventh-round pick, a former rugby star, and suddenly he looks like the football's really coming to him, and he has the skill set to be a great player in the NFL.
They definitely saw the aspects of getting into the second level with the rugby ability, that's for sure, but then you knew his feet were going to take some time, and my God, 4 weeks, that time has flown by, and I don't think I've seen anybody make an improvement, as big of an improvement, as big as leaps and bounds as this kid has. He's 21 years old. He's training under one of the greatest left tackles ever to play, completely raw, and you would think he's had at least a couple of years experience in college. I mean, his technique has gotten better and better every game, and there's times when I watch him play, and I swear I've seen Jason Peters have the same exact drop step as Mailata, the same exact hand placement, and it's very promising. There were times that you could see his punch was late on a few of them. His feet were slow. That's going to happen. It's just getting repetition, though, and you cannot put that kid on. You can't expose him to waivers. There's no way, because he's going to get taken with.
No, he's a lock to make this roster now. There's
With the amount of teams that have offensive line needs, there might be some situations where he would be the second or third tackle on a team. You can't lose him. He could, like Ross Tucker said, he could be an all-pro. I mean, I'm not going to jump the gun right now, but from what you've seen out of him, if he continues to develop at that rate, as which that team hopes, and which I think they drafted him for that exact purpose, you could be looking at a potential left tackle for Carson to sit behind for the next 8 to 10 years.
That's just I get giddy just thinking about it, because they only spent a 7th-round pick on the guy. I mean, we all knew he was going to be a project, but we thought it was I at least thought it was a long shot that project would turn into something to the level that now we are imagining with Mailata. But now, you know, he's still a project that they're going to continue to develop throughout the year with Jason Peters still in Philadelphia. But now it turns into the situation where we're developing a potential starter in the next couple years, where he now has a role sketched out for him in the future. Whereas before it was, yeah, we'll see what happens. He's got a lot of talent. We'll see if we can mold it all together, but he's got a long way to go. Where now after the preseason, it's like, okay, we've got something here. Let's continue to invest in this, maybe to the point where they don't consider drafting a tackle as high in, say, next year's draft, because Jordan Mailata has shown so much promise.
I think they're in a good spot at tackle overall. I mean,
I think they're
Peters
in a lot better overall in the offensive line depth-wise than we thought before before the preseason and training camp started.
I agree 1,000% there. I mean, Jason Peters, you'd like to see him stay healthy this whole next year, and maybe he comes back for one more year after this. You don't know. He doesn't seem like he wants to get off the football field anytime soon. And then Lane, he's in the prime of his career, arguably one of the top five tackles in the league, maybe the best right tackle in the league at that. Brandon Brooks hasn't allowed a sack since Vietnam. Jason Kelsey's playing at a Pro Bowl caliber level again. Wisniewski, he's consistent. Love what he does. You have Matt Pryor. I think I've liked what I've seen. The team has spoken pretty highly of the kid. We could just go down the list. I mean, we're in a good spot. I'm very happy with where we are. Just continue to develop these guys. Get them in. If you see that talent, which they're doing, they're getting these guys in the door. I mean, Mailata, he was like a block of clay that you can literally could just mold. There was nothing that you had to fix. There was no hitches in his drop step. There was no bad hand placement that you have to fix. You could literally make this guy into an absolute terror of a tackle, just consistently just pushing this technique on him, and you see after he makes a bad play that Jason Peters and Lane Johnson come up to him, and because they know the kid has talent. You've seen it. He doesn't get interested in people he doesn't think have talent. Like, he went up to Jake Elliott last year after he missed those kicks and said, don't miss another one. Yeah, and Big V as well. Yeah, you've seen that. And I'm very happy about where we are on the state of the offensive line, especially since our quarterback is coming back from an ACL tear. You need to keep him healthy. So the more offensive line, the better.
Yeah, Mailata, that initial, even the first step, the burst coming out of his stance on the offensive line.
He drops back like 4 yards on one drop step. It's crazy.
That's something, as good as Vitae was at times last year in the Super Bowl run, that there are skills that Mailata has that Big V will never be able to have because of the athleticism and the burst and just the raw talent that Mailata has. Big V, he played well. He has the experience. He could be he's a top end. NFL.com ranked him as the top swing tackle in football. But that's really, to me, where Big V's going to be.
Outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's an over. I think Big V is a career. I mean, I'm fine with him being our third or fourth tackle on this team. But I think, though, Mailata even showed throughout this preseason that he's got way more to his game potentially than what Big V has. So yeah, Jordan Mailata and Stephen Means, really the two big winners today. Hackenberg, Geno, not so much. I think him being a loser against the Jets today was a understatement, considering this was supposed to be the revenge game. You labeled it the Hacken Bowl. I think he had 5 passing attempts right on the dot when he reached his second interception. I don't think that guy's going to be in the NFL anymore. Just a hunch.
No, he could pack up his suitcase and head home and go play in the Arena Football League for all I care.
He threw a football to Mars on a crosser route. That might be the worst second round pick in NFL history, truthfully.
I mean, Roberto Aguayo has to be up there, but yeah, you could say it.
Too.
7 for 16 for 69 yards, 4.3 yards average, and 2 interceptions, with a 16.9 passer rating. His passer rating could barely drive legally in New York.
he's gone, and I don't think he's even worth a practice squad spot. I think Joe Callahan is worth that spot more than
I think they're going to find somebody off of another team,
yeah,
honestly.
I don't think either one of these guys is staying, but, I mean, Hackenberg, look, he freshman year showed a lot with Allen Robinson. He's done nothing since then to even last in the NFL as long as he's been. I know that's harsh, but we heard the stories of him hitting media members. He was throwing it so sporadically, and you saw that in today's game, and he also fumbled the ball. After his 2 interceptions, it seemed like he took off, and he got past the first down marker, and he just fumbled the football. I mean, 3 turnovers, that can't
happen. He could have slid, and he would have been fine.
Lowered the shoulder with no power to it at all. It was a disastrous performance for Hackenberg. Any other thoughts, Gino, before we move on to the next segment about this Eagles-Jets game? I mean, the fourth running back spot, we didn't really learn a whole lot more. I think Josh Adams is going to be a phantom IR guy, and I think Wendell Smallwood's that fourth RB for this season. If you had to ask me right now, that's a hunch that I have currently.
They always seem to find the guy that they like the most to put on that phantom IR with a toenail injury. Couple years ago was Alex McAllister because he wasn't big enough to play defensive end. The last year it was Pumphrey because he's never going to play another down of football. I don't think we mentioned him that he's gone. He's as good as gone at this point.
He had the one good reception, but he had to have a monster game today to even be considered for the 53-man roster. And he had 3 catches for 39 yards. The majority of those yards, though, consisted of that one big play he had on his first touch. Yeah, Pumphrey's gone, and that is probably the worst draft pick in the Howie Roseman, Hugh Douglas era. I mean, Joe Douglas era, excuse me. I think that might be their worst pick.
It definitely is.
Considering there's not many other ones to choose from.
I know, they've been pretty clean there, but yeah, he's as good as gone. I mean, like you said, I think Smallwood, it's like the tie goes to the veteran, I guess.
Yeah.
And then nobody really took it. It was out for the taking, and nobody really stepped up, in my opinion. On the offensive side of the ball, I liked what I saw of DeAndre Carter again.
Mm-hmm.
He makes flashy plays. He almost broke one on that crossing route for a long touchdown. That would have been nice to see for the kid. But, yeah, him and Anthony Denham, I'd say, are the two that stuck out the most for me. Denham, he just came back, and he averaged 15.3 yards a catch today, 3 for 46, which is pretty good. I mean, I'm not confident they saw enough out of their fourth tight ends, which is a very underrated battle in this camp that I would say to keep one. I think you go Ertz, Goddard, and Rodgers there. And then at the 6th wide receiver, I think Carter locked it up. I didn't see enough out of anybody else to justify keeping them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think on the defensive side, Jeremy Reeves showed he can lay the boom on players.
He has some crazy closing speed. I did not know that.
Yes, that's what I fell in love with when he was in college. That's a reason I thought he was going to be a early day 3 pick, a 4th, 5th round pick. He ended up being undrafted. A lot of the time he's just going for the hit. Sometimes I would like him to make a play on the ball. He's still pretty raw, but he has some incredible closing speed, and he hits with force. He had a couple really big hits today. He made some big hits against Cleveland and especially in New England. That game, he looked really good, not only with tackling, but in coverage. Jeremy Reeves, did at least enough to stick around in the practice squad, which is going to make me happy because I just want him with the organization. But if right now, if you're choosing a fifth safety, if you're going to keep one, it's Reeves to me over Trey Sullivan. So that's another guy defensively that I think stood out for the Eagles today against the Jets. Coming up next on the Lockdown Eagles podcast, Carson Wentz continued to work out with the team before today's game against the Jets, and I think he looked really, really good, and it's still promising that he's going to play next Thursday in the season opener against the Atlanta Falcons. That's coming up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. All right, welcome back, guys, to the show. Lou DiBiase here, Gino Camilleri as well, hanging out after the Eagles' 10-9 victory in the Week 4 preseason finale against the New York Jets, the typical traditional game that we've been so accustomed to over the past, feel like, decade and a half. Gino, maybe the biggest takeaway from this is, once again, Carson Wentz warming up before the game, and I don't care what Peter King says, I don't care what any doctor or media member says, I think Carson Wentz is playing week one. He looked really strong again in warm-ups. Lane Johnson even said he would be surprised if Carson Wentz wasn't named the starter. He said he watched Wentz throw a ball 65 yards down the field while warming up tonight. I saw a pass on Twitter where he threw a pass across his body, putting more weight on that injured leg. I don't know how. I think maybe they're just playing cat and mouse with the Falcons. Make them scheme for both Wentz and Nick Foles. But Carson Wentz, I'm convinced, fully convinced, until Doug Peterson says that Nick Foles is the starter, Carson Wentz to me is playing against the Atlanta Falcons. He looks 100% healthy. And I know contact is different, but I am so confident in this, and I know a bunch of different people are speculating. Even I heard on 94WIP, John Barchard has changed his opinion. He doesn't think Wentz is going to play week one. I'm still all in on it, and I'm not giving up on it. Wentz is playing.
I think Lane is a good indicator of the future, I would say. Before last season, he said they were going to come out and kick the Redskins' ass. What did they do week one? Came out, kicked the Redskins' ass. Said they were going to win the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. He says Carson's going to play. I'm taking his word. Lane's not shy. I believe Carson's going to be out there. He just moves so smooth. I don't see anything that like really concerns me. I mean, maybe the stability isn't all there that the doctors now. I'm no doctor by any stretch of the imagination, but I really don't see anything that's out of his ordinary footwork. Really, I mean, he's planting clean. He's rolling out clean. He's moving side to side, back and forth. He looks good to me. I think he's good to go. I think he's getting the start. I hope so.
Doug Peterson.
All we can say now.
Yeah, Doug Peterson. Look, he's gonna decide in about a couple hours, right when he wakes up on Friday morning. I think he's gonna have a good idea. I think they've known for a long time now. Why have him play in 11-on-11s in July? He looks really good, and then suddenly he doesn't do 11-on-11s again until last week. To me, what that said was he looked really good, and they're like, okay, no need to risk any further potential, you know, plays that could cause an injury. We've seen enough. He's healthy, continue to rehab over the course of the month of August, and then we'll go from there. I think that they're going with Carson Wentz because, I don't know, it's just, I didn't see any, you know, any restrictions in his mobility over the past couple weeks of him warming up before the games. Again, contact is a different story, but we are 9 months into his rehab. It's a 9 to 12 month injury, and he is further along than many people expected. So I think he's playing, and I'm going to be pretty disappointed if he doesn't. I know Peter King said he thinks that they're not going to play Carson Wentz till week three. He does talk to Doug Peterson a lot. It wasn't a report or anything. It was him just speculating. But if you ask me, I don't think Doug Peterson or the Eagles have leaked this out to anybody. I don't think that they've told anybody, because why risk that? Why have a media member come out and say, look, like, I talked to someone inside, it's pretty likely that Carson Wentz is going to play, and then the Falcons pick up on that? Because, well, like we mentioned the other day, the offenses are very different with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. There is a real advantage to having the Falcons have to prepare for both of them.
Yeah, definitely. I I think they're in a good situation there. I mean, I think you were spot on when you said when they took him out of 11-on-11s.
Yeah.
Because I think they let him do 7-on-7 partially to get that timing down with the receivers, which I think is a great move. But an 11-on-11, if you know he's healthy, don't even risk him getting hit in the slightest, you know? Like,
and
why
also,
would you?
Why split the first team reps with him and Foles? You know, it seemed like 50-50. If you knew, mm-hmm. if you were pretty confident that Foles was going to play in not only maybe week one, but both in week two as well, why not give Foles as many first team reps as possible, right? I mean, Wentz has been like his progress and his involvement in practice has gotten bigger and bigger over the course of August. So to me, it's just telling with everything they're doing that it's going to be Wentz week one under center. I'm just feeling really good about it right now.
Me too, for sure. I think it's going to happen. I want it to be tomorrow. I want somebody to leak it. Not that I want the Falcons to find out, but just for my own sanity that he's playing.
I'm also
playing,
tired of just hearing about it, you know? It's like
somebody
it
asked that question tonight right after
again.
The game. Like, why? Doug's sick of it. We're sick of it. Everybody's sick of it. When he marches out of the tunnel on week one, I'm going to be very happy.
It's very similar to the RG3 situation.
Yep.
Back in 2000, well, not a couple years ago. It feels like a couple years ago, but it's already been 6 years that RG3 was, you know, all in for week one against the Eagles, and he rushed back. But this is a different scenario. You know, Carson Wentz got injured. RG3 got injured in the playoffs. Carson Wentz got injured about a month before that. He's a bigger player. He rehabbed. It seems like, you know, he's a physical specimen. He looks like someone that came out of a lab when you're just building a quarterback. That's what it would look like. So, mm-hmm. you know, the Eagles medical staff is one of the best in the NFL. He's just, everything's been going well for this after this injury. It just seemed like something that I was concerned with when he was injured. This was something, it's just, the minute there's one of these serious injuries, it's always in the back of your head now because you've invested so much in this player. But I think he's going to play week one, and we're going to remember just how good Carson Wentz was last year, because I think people understand it and they know, because it was, I mean, the Eagles were atop the league when Wentz went down. He was the favorite to win MVP. He broke the franchise record for most passing touchdowns in a season. But then the Nick Foles magical Super Bowl run, I think, has kind of changed our focus a little bit. And I think the minute Wentz gets under center and he makes that first big play against Atlanta, if it does happen, that's when we're going to remember, okay, this is Carson Wentz's team. Any talk about Nick Foles potentially being the starter. I know Tiki and Tierney this week asked Doug Peterson what happens if Nick Foles is playing in the first couple weeks and he's playing like he was in the playoffs and you're undefeated. What happens? I don't think that's ever a possibility in Doug Peterson's mind to not go with Carson Wentz. And I think we're going to understand why again. I think Carson Wentz is going to remind not only Eagles fans and the team, but the league, that this is an up-and-coming player that's going to be one of the best in the NFL for the next decade.
I think Andrew Hawkins, ex-Cleveland Brown, hit it right on the head today. I forgot what program he was on, but he said, Carson hasn't tasted that victory. He
yeah,
just
and it's
going to
motivate
out.
Him even more.
Yeah, he didn't get it. He didn't get his MVP. It was there for the taking.
That's right.
If he finished that season, he easily wins the MVP. He easily leads them to win the Super Bowl, I feel. I think they maybe would have scored over 50 points if Carson was playing against that Patriots team.
They might have scored 60.
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
He would have lit that defense on fire.
I completely agree, and I'm just ready for him. He has that look in his eye. It needs to happen. I really can't even say anything more. I'm just stumbling over my words at this point. It needs to happen. We all have a man crush on Carson Wentz. We all want to see him play.
That's an understatement.
We all want to see the magic of the kid again. It's just needs to happen.
I've never seen a player more beloved and just unquestioned in
such a short amount of time.
Philadelphia sports history, yeah, and it's just with Eagles fans, it just doesn't happen that often. You know, guys like Brian Dawkins, the team falls in love with, but Carson Wentz from the start was just unquestioned. Like he's our baby. Like you don't criticize him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like this is the savior of the city. Basically, it wasn't like that with Donovan McNabb, and it really wasn't like that with anybody. So, the relationship Carson Wentz has with the city is amazing. And I think he's playing week one, and it'll just make it a whole lot more exciting Thursday against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's take one more break. We wrap up the show. Bud Light hinted at, and I saw WIP tweeted out the little promo they did. They're building a statue for the Eagles that's going to be revealed right before the Falcons game. It's going to go in front of Lincoln Financial. We're going to speculate what the statue could be. That's coming up next, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody, as we wrap it up with our third and final segment. Gino, did you see the tweet today about the Eagles statue that is going to be built right before the game? This is super cool. I didn't know. It's a surprise to me. I knew eventually there was going to be some sort of ode to the Super Bowl team with a statue in front of the building. Maybe it'd be Nick Foles or Doug Peterson, not sure what, but it looks like it's going to happen already this week as the Eagles continue to do different things celebrating Super Bowl 52. From the video, what I saw is the little piece of the statue that they showed was the corner of an Eagles jacket that looked a lot like what Doug Peterson wore in the Super Bowl. And then at the end of the commercial, it says, "Do you want Philly, Philly?" I don't know what do you think?
That just gave me the chills.
If I know, right? It's going to for the rest of your life. Oh, if yeah. What I think the statue is when Nick Foles, some people think it's just Doug Peterson, like, wow, Doug Peterson's already getting a statue for the Eagles in 2 years, which is just crazy to think about. Consider, mm-hmm. like, a year ago, after the 7-9 season, if I told you next year Doug Peterson's going to have a statue in front of the Lincoln Financial Field, you would have thought I was crazy.
Yeah, when they hired him, I thought there was no chance. I mean,
I didn't really know what to expect out of him, but
Super Bowl.
It's insane, but I don't think the statue is going to be of just Doug Peterson. Peterson's definitely in the statue because the jacket that was on the statue, that is the one he wore in the Super Bowl. What I think it is it's the scene of when Foles walks up to Peterson and asks, "Do you want Philly, Philly?" I think it's going to have Peterson looking at Foles, and Foles is also going to be a part of the statue. If you had to ask me, that's my guess right now.
I agree with you there. I mean,
I don't know if
it's the most monumental moment in the history of the franchise. It would be crazy. And to think that Dilly Dilly came out the exact year they ran Philly Philly, just it's another gem to that story, really, made out of a fairy tale.
I would like a second statue, though. I really want one of Nick Foles catching that football.
That would be great.
I don't know if Trey Burton would be in it too, but just of having Foles in the catching motion with the football in his hand, that's what I thought eventually would be built in front of the stadium. I think it would be really cool to have a big like ode to the Super Bowl with that statue of Doug and Nick Foles, and then of Nick Foles catching the football almost in like a sequence. That is something that I think would be really cool, where maybe it's even three statues. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to be creative here.
Give them a whole monument park.
No, seriously, it's like a storyline, basically, in the front with the statues. It's Doug and Foles talking. Then you have the one where maybe it's Clement pitching it to Trey Burton.
That would be cool.
It's a four-statue series. Then it's Trey Burton throwing the football, and you see Nick Foles in the background, and then it's Nick Foles catching the football. That's what I would do if I were the Eagles. I'm getting probably ahead of the plan. It's probably just the one statue, but that's something I want to see in the near future.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But speaking of monuments dedicated to the Super Bowl within Lincoln Financial Field, Dave Spadaro reported that they pulled down the banner that Malcolm Jenkins was complaining about, and I think that is an all-time great franchise move.
How many other teams would do that?
I don't think many. Doug listens to his guys.
They said they didn't want to look. Yeah. The Eagles are ahead of the curve, dude. The Eagles are ahead of the curve.
You play for the guys around you. You trust the guys around you. That's the message that Doug has delivered since the moment he stepped in the door. Mm-hmm. If the guys don't like the way it is, Doug's not going to complain. He's going to do it. If Doug doesn't like the way it is, the players are going to do what Doug says. The cohesion between all the units, from Jeffrey Lurie all the way to the last guy on the practice squad, these guys get it. They get what it takes to be winners. You saw it last year, and I think you're going to see it moving forward. And when Spadaro said that, I was absolutely thrilled.
That's a great point, and I think that's a great way to end today's show. Thank you for everyone that tuned in tonight. Again, Eagles take down the New York Jets 10-9. Geno, the preseason's finally over. We'll get ready for the Atlanta Falcons Eagles season opener this Thursday, September 6th at Lincoln Financial Field. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our coverage as we gear up for the season opener. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE and Gino at Gino_LOE. Subscribe to the podcast. Please leave us a review and comments. We always appreciate the feedback from you, the listeners. For myself and Gino Camilleri, this has been the Locked On Eagles podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.